over the last few weeks, we've just kind of been talking about the love of God and the fact that a lot of times we don't, you know, we sing songs about the love of God, and it's hard for us sometimes because we really don't get the love of God. And, you know, I threw out this phrase, to boast in the love of God. I mean, to find great joy and great confidence in this, the love of God. And it's hard for us to do that because a lot of times we don't really fully understand, fully grasp the depth and the wonder of the love of God. We have a hard time with that. And so it's hard for us. And so that's where we begin the journey. And then not only that, but then we understand this last week, if God is love, you know, 1 John says that God is love. But then Hebrews says that Jesus is he's the radiance of the glory of God, and that in Jesus, he's the exact imprint of his nature. You know, Colossians talks about the fact that it pleased the Lord to be fully to dwell in Jesus. I mean, this is what we're talking about. This is who Jesus is. So God is love, and if we really want to understand love, one of the best places to look is in the life of Jesus. Not just simply in the death of Christ, but also in what he did. And one of the best ways to do that is by reading a gospel. And that's what we kind of, last week, where we ended off, is hopefully you guys jumping in and reading a gospel. That's the challenge right now, is read one gospel, beginning to end. And, you know, not just hit the highlights. Well, I really like the Good Samaritan story. I'll read that, you know, but actually read the entire gospel, read the story. And last week we talked about how each one of the writers, each gospel writer, had their own audience that they were targeting. They wanted them to see Jesus for who he really was in a particular light. And so with you guys, for me, I'm reading through Luke, okay? So hence tonight we're in Luke 5. It's just this gospel I've read, but I continue to read it, and it's been a really cool thing. And so for you guys, I hope that you've kind of jumped in on a gospel and looked at one and began to read it and see, okay, what does this say about the love of God? Who does this say Jesus really is? I know what I've heard. I know what the preachers have told me, but what's it really say? What's the Bible present as Jesus? And that's where we kind of left off, is the fact that a lot of us don't get the love of God, and a lot of us in this room, we don't even know really the best way to know God is through Jesus, and a lot of us haven't really even taken the time to read a gospel all the way through to, in order to really get it. So that's where we are tonight, okay? If you haven't been here, there you go. You're basically caught up. You didn't even have to come the last 2 weeks. Right there, you got it. I'm just joking. If you came last week, hopefully you got something out of it, of benefit for your faith or whatever, but maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, so tonight what we're going to be talking about is the fact that for us in our lives, a lot of times we limit the love of God. And, I mean, that's just this phrase that's just been in my head all week long. I mean, that's just one of these things that it scares me to death to think about my life. It scares me to just think about how I live my life so much. Because, guys, I throw around that phrase, the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. But in my own life, I'm afraid that what I've done so many times is this, is I've limited the love of God. And not only that, but I'm afraid that a lot of us in this room, we've done that. We've limited the love of God. I mean, it's this crazy idea to me, because here's what I've done. And I mean, this last week, I've really, really thought about myself and my own life and where I've been. And here's what I see in myself. I get the love of God, okay? And it's this great gift. I'm like, wow, here it is. You know, here's the love of God. I mean, in all its great things. And I mean, I can just give all these adjectives about the love of God and say all these different things about the love of God. And I mean, just be like, wow, here is the love of God. I mean, and I am so thankful to have the love of God. I mean, this is a great, great gift that I've been given. The love of God. I mean, I am so thankful for it, and I don't deserve it, but I'm really, really thankful for it. And here's what we do. We just kind of, we ooh and all over it. We kind of look at it. We, you know, kind of just check it out. You know, we kind of glance at it. And then what we do is this, we just put it to the side and say, wow, that was pretty cool. That's pretty handy to have around. But we really don't do anything with it. We just say, man, that's pretty neat. And we just stick it to the side. And that's what I do with the love of God. I talk about it. I'll speak about it. And I might even try to read the Bible through it, but I never really do anything with it. I just look at it and say, man, looks pretty nice. Boy, this is something that's going to really come in handy. I mean, it's going to really be beneficial one of these days, but right now it really doesn't have any bearings. It doesn't really have any influence on my life. It really does nothing for me right now. And that's just where I've seen myself. And maybe I'm the only one in the room that's ever done that with the love of God. Maybe not, but that's what I see, and that's what I fear in my own life, is that I've done this. I've limited the love of God. I mean, it scares me to think about that. And tonight, that's what I want us to talk about with us, okay? In this group, this is all I want us to do. Just talk about the fact that what we do so much is limit the love of God, okay? So Luke 5, let's look there. Luke 5, verse 1. It says this: on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And we'll end right there, okay? We'll kind of cut the story off right there. A lot of us in this room, we've read that story and read that story and read that story. I'm no different. I had read that story just a ton of times. I mean, you know, you hear it like in Sunday school and you're like barely, you know, able to talk or whatever. You know the story. We all know the story in here, probably. I mean, most of us in here, at least, we've heard that story at some point. But tonight, here's what I want us to understand is this, is that what God asks us to do is this, is to not just simply ooh and awe over the love of God, simply just kind of look at it and be thankful for it and just put it to the side. But what God wants to do is this: he wants us to fully embrace the love of God, to fully embrace what it means to be a follower. Because I'm really convinced, for myself at least, that I've done this. I've committed this great crime in just simply saying, "God, I'm really thankful for it, but I know it's going to come in handy, but I really don't see how it's of any value right now. I mean, I really don't." And I may not say it with my mouth. I may not actually say that I don't think your love really does that much right now. I don't blatantly say it. But the way I live my life, I mean, that's basically what I'm getting at. I say, man, it's great to sing about. It's great to talk about occasionally, but really, God's love, I mean, what does it actually do in my life? What's it do on a day-to-day basis for me? And I mean, that's where a lot of us are at. So at the very beginning here in this story, what we see is this. We see this guy, Peter. He's hanging out, and basically Peter's there, and he's doing his job. He's kind of wrapping up the day. He's about to go back, you know. I mean, they've been working hard. And then here comes Jesus, this great preacher, and he's coming around, and he says, "Hey, can I use your boat?" And, you know, so here's Peter. He's got this boat. You know, he sees Jesus, and, you know, Jesus is kind of popular right now and everything, and so he's like, "Well, okay, if you just want to preach, I mean, sure, why not? If you want to, you know, if you want to be a preacher and go preach here, then sure. I mean, here, have my boat, you go, well, we can do that. That's not a problem at all." And so, you know, here at this point in the story, what we see is this, is you see Peter, and he's completely fine with it. I mean, he's completely fine with letting Jesus use his boat in order to do the religious thing, to preach. I mean, if a preacher wants to preach, he wants to use my boat, that's no problem at all. I can handle that. And for a lot of us in this room, that's what we do in our own lives. We say, you know what, if God wants to be, you know, kind of in charge of the spiritual aspects of my life, the religious aspects of my life, that's totally okay. I mean, God, you can have that. I'm totally fine with that, okay? I mean, if you want to save me, if that's something I've heard that my whole life, I'm good with that, okay? For eternal security, I'm good with you, God, being in charge of that area of my life. I'm great with that, okay? That's yours. Okay, you want me on Sunday? You know, I mean, sure, I can do that. I'm probably not going to go to the Sunday morning service because I'm really kind of sleepy. But, you know, if you want my Sunday, I'll give you Sunday morning. I'll give you Sunday. I mean, you can take your pick, okay? I mean, you can have one or the other, God. And it's yours. I mean, because that's your area, okay? So if you want that part, why not? You know, okay, Wednesday night, I mean, I know I'm busy, and I mean, I have so much homework to do, and I have all these different things. I procrastinated so much, but if you really want my Wednesday nights, I mean, if you really want me to come to Relevant occasionally, I mean, I'll do it. I mean, you're God, and I mean, this is one area of life that you're kind of in charge of, and so, you know, if you want me to do that, why not? I'm okay with that. And then there's a few of us in this room that would say, okay, wow, you know, here I am, all right, God, I mean, I hear about all these different ministries, I hear about all these different opportunities, and I know who you are, I know this is kind of your area of my life, okay, the religion, spiritual part, this is you, this is your part, and so God, here you go, if you want me to get involved in a ministry, I mean, you got to just pick one though, okay, I'm not going to get involved in everything because I have a lot of other opportunities, I have a lot of other things I need to do, but if you want me to do one thing, one time, you know, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. And I mean, I know all day that we're going to be bugging me about being committed and keep coming and all this, but I'm not committing to anything. I'm just saying I'm going to do this one time. I'll do this one nice deed one time. All right. And you know what's going to be great about it, God, is the fact that I'm going to feel good about myself for doing something good. I mean, it's going to be nice. I mean, I can handle that. I mean, one Saturday a semester doing something nice. I mean, that ought to do me pretty well for the whole semester, right? I mean, that's all you're wanting. I can do that. And that's what we do. We just simply say to God, God, here's this one area of my life. Here's this one thing. You want to do this area? That's great. You want to be in charge of my church? That's fine. Where I go to church, God, that's all you. You want to be in charge of how much I read the Bible? You know, it's not that, okay, you can have that one too. And so we kind of go through our life and we do this thing where basically we just make our lives and we segment our lives and we, you know, just kind of make different compartments for our life. And so God, he's in charge of the religion, spiritual, whatever you want to call it, part of our life. And we're totally up for that. And Peter here, he's totally up for that. I mean, okay, so Jesus, you want to use my boat? That's fine. You can use my boat. If you need to preach out of my boat, it's yours all day. I don't even need it. You know, really, it's not that big of a deal, Jesus. You can have the boat. So there he goes, you know, and so Jesus does his thing and he preaches. It says there, verses 1-3, it talks about how Jesus is just speaking to the crowds and the crowds are pressing on him, you know, and I don't know what that looked like, but I'm just thinking, you know, that's a lot of people, right? And so, you know, here's Jesus. He jumps in the boat. They go a little bit out and he's able to speak. He's close enough to the crowd, you know, on the shore that he's able to be heard, but still, you know, it's pretty comfortable. It's pretty easy for Peter to do this. It's not really that hard for him to do. Give me your boat. Okay, you can have my boat. And what we do is say, okay, yeah, you can have my Sunday. Okay, you can have my Wednesday even, all right? It's not that big of a deal. Here's my Wednesday night. Okay, once a semester, I'll do that one good deed. No big deal. And I mean, that's where a lot of us end. That's where I end a lot of times. I say, okay, God, there it is. Checked it off the list. I'm good. But then here's what happens, and this is what's kind of scary, is that this is what makes Christianity kind of tough, is that Jesus doesn't just stop there. He doesn't say, well, all right, thanks a lot. Have a good day. You know, he doesn't do that. It's not what Jesus does here. Instead, you know, you look here, and we can keep reading. Verse 4, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep. Whoa. Easy there. Don't give me that much. All right. Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing. And you know what's interesting about this to me is the fact that, you know, this is Peter's life. This is what he does. He's a fisherman. Jesus is not a fisherman. He's a carpenter. He's a preacher. You know, he doesn't know how to do this. So here comes Jesus, and Jesus has been preaching, which is his thing. That's what he's good at. So sure, he can do that. But then what happens next is Jesus says, hey, why don't we go out and let's do some fishing? Why don't we go out and let's put the nets down? And I mean, what really happens here is that, you know, Peter kind of flinches. He says, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, hold on a second. I may not be the smartest guy, and I know you're smarter than me, Jesus. I mean, Master, this is who you are. You know, he's trying to, you know, give him the nice little, you know, whatever. You know, if that's where you're at, then that's fine. Yeah, if you want to do that, that's cool. I mean, that sounds great, Jesus. But you really don't know what you're talking about. You really don't know what you're talking about. You are good at the preaching thing. You're good at the spiritual thing. But this is my area. This is what I'm good at. This is what I know. I know fishing, okay? You don't know fishing. I know fishing. And so it's great that you want to preach. It's great you want to use my boat for preaching. But now you're wanting to use my boat for something else. You're wanting to do something a little bit more. Now you're actually going to start pushing me. And now here's the problem here. And this is what I see. It's, you know, all these different boats, all these different people, all these different fishermen. They're all kind of wrapping up the day and everything like that. And I mean, Peter's looking around and everybody else is done. I mean, everybody else is kind of wrapped up, just like he's just about wrapped up. And then here comes Jesus saying, hey, why don't we go back out? You know, why don't we go a little deeper? Why don't we just throw out the nets? And I mean, to me, what I see here is the fact that Peter is going to look completely different from any other fisherman at this point. Every other fisherman, they've been out. They've done their job for the day. They're done. But then here comes Peter. He's already done everything. And now he's going to have to go right back out there. And I mean, in my mind, I mean, that's got to be one of the most embarrassing things. You know, you're supposed to know your job really well. You're supposed to know exactly what to do. And then you let this guy who knows absolutely nothing about fishing tell you, hey, why don't we go back out there, throw out the nets again? Why don't you go out there and be the only one out there doing this? Everybody else is done, but you, Peter, I want you to keep going. I want you to go again. I want you to be different from everybody else. And here's where we're at. A lot of us, like I said, you know, we're willing to give Jesus, we're willing to give God his time. I mean, he's got the spiritual thing, he's got the religion thing going. I mean, that's his. But then when he begins to deal with the real issues of our life, when he begins to challenge us about what we're majoring in, we say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, I've given you my Sunday. I've given you my Wednesday. I've given you my Saturdays. I've given you a lot of things. But now you're starting to mess with my major. I mean, now you're challenging me on the things that I know. I already have my plan set out. I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to graduate in this year. And after that, I'm going to go to this graduate school. And after I do that, then I'm going to take this entry-level job. And then I'm going to do this. And I'm going to have 2.5 kids. I'm going to have this house. And I mean, I already got it all figured out. I mean, come on. Why are you messing with that area of my life? God, thanks a lot, but I really don't need you there. I don't need you in my major. Or he comes and begins to deal with our relationships. You say, whoa, I've given you a lot. But relationships, that's one thing I really know what to do. I mean, I've done relationships. I mean, I know relationships pretty well. I mean, whether it be with your roommates or whether it be, you know, in a dating relationship, we say, you know, God, I know what I need to do. I know myself pretty well now. I feel like I know who I am, so I know what I'm looking for. And so, God, I really don't need you there. I really don't need you there. I mean, I know what you're saying, and I know, yeah, I know you love me and all that good stuff, but really, at the end of the day, no, I think I got this one. I think I can handle this one. And really, if we really push ourselves, a lot of times, we think we can do life better on our own. That's what our lives say. We talk a lot about trusting God, but at the end of the day, there's a great, great majority of us that never take any action that would reveal trust in God. We never trust God. And for myself, I started to wonder, okay, why is it that I don't trust God? If I claim to know all these things about who God is, and I know who I am, then why do I not do it? And I really think this is why I don't do it, because it makes me different. It marks me out. It calls me out. I can't be like everybody else. And I think that's why I don't do it. And for you, that might be it. For me, I think that's what it is for a lot of us in this room. It's not that we don't think it's going to work out or maybe, you know, this or that, but it's just the fact that if we really take God serious, if we really begin to trust God, we're going to be different. And that scares us. It scares me. And here's Peter. And if he takes Jesus serious, he's going to be the only guy out there throwing out those nets again. He's going to be marked. He's going to be different. And guys, that's scary. When God begins to challenge us about our relationships and the way we do relationships, man, that's scary. Because for a lot of us in this room, we've done relationships one way. We've only known one way to do it. We know only one kind of person that we're looking for. We only know one way. When we get mad at somebody, we only know one way to deal with that. I mean, when our roommate gets us ticked off, I mean, we only know one way to get it out, and that's by just, you know, just spewing it out. I mean, just getting, just livid at that person, right? Because that's the only thing we've ever known our whole lives. When God begins to deal with us on our majors, we're like, but God, I've had this all planned out my entire life. I already know exactly what I'm going to do. And it scares us that God is calling us to be different. It scares us that God's calling us to maybe to look at somebody differently, to maybe not just go completely by looks, but maybe begin to look at people's personalities. Maybe that when we do get mad, maybe we begin first with ourselves and say, what did I do? What's my responsibility in this conflict? What have I done? I mean, maybe that's where we begin. And maybe with our major, we say, okay, no longer is my goal just simply to make a lot of money. That's no longer my goal. I mean, God, how is it that you can be best seen through me? What major is it that I can reflect you and your glory and your goodness and your love the best? What is that? I mean, what's that, God? Show me that. And the reason we don't do that is this, is because it scares us, because it makes us different. Our goals change, our values change. We don't look like everybody else at that point. And for Peter, that's exactly where he's at. He had goals. Catch fish. He had people around him that were having the same kind of goals, same kind of life. And here comes Jesus. And Jesus is calling him, go be different. Let's go out there again. Let's go cast those nets out. And so that's what Jesus is calling us to. You see, we limit the love of God. We give God this part of our life. But then here comes Jesus and he says, I want more. I want more. I want all of you. I want to push you. I want to make you different. And then here's the very end here. It's pretty cool. What happens at the second part of verse 5, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And guys, in this first thing that I understand is this, is that Peter does it. Peter does it. It makes no sense whatsoever to go back out there. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. I mean, it's the middle of the day now. I mean, it's not like the ideal fishing time, but he does it. It makes absolutely no sense, and it's not like he doesn't even sound that confident, you know? I mean, it's not like he's like, well, of course I'll do it because you were, you know, it's not like that at all. He's a guy that says, you know, it makes no sense. In fact, it's really dumb, but if you're wanting me to do it, I guess I'll do it. It seems like it's completely foolish to do this. It's going to be a complete waste of time to do this, but if this is what you want me to do, this is what I'm going to do. And for so many of us in this room, what we've grown up with is this, is if it doesn't make sense, then it's not going to be right. If we can't logically justify every single thing we do, then we don't need to do it. If you can't explain completely exactly how you're going to get a certain task done, then why are you doing it that way? We've grown up with this idea that everything has to make perfectly logical sense. It has to be reasonable. We have to be planned out. We have to organize everything. And I mean, that's just our system. That's just our culture. We've created that for ourselves. And I mean, it would make no sense to a lot of people if we did this, and then somebody asks you, why are you majoring what you're majoring in? And you say this, because I really just believe this is what God's called me to. I mean, that's it. I mean, I might be a little gifted at it, or I might enjoy it, but the heart of it is this. Is this the simple fact? God asked me to do this. This is what it is. This is what it is. This is what God's wanted me to do. I really believe that, and so with my life, I want to be obedient to that. I mean, well, if one of you do that, a lot of people are going to look at you crazy. So, but you don't really have a real plan with it. No, this is what God's calling me to. This is what he asked me to do. And it would make us no sense whatsoever. It would make no sense for us whatsoever to do that. And a lot of us in this room, we feel like we have to be completely confident. We have to come before God and just say, yeah, I absolutely believe in you, God, and I completely understand everything. But guys, that's not the way we come to God. That's not the way Peter does here. It's not like Peter knew everything that was going to happen. But he said, I don't know everything. It really doesn't make much sense, but I'll do it. And for you in your life, is that what you do? What do you do? What's the place you're at right now? Are you at a place where you can say your life is saying that? Where you're saying, it doesn't make much sense. In fact, it might make me look really foolish. I could look completely dumb. I can completely fall on my face, but I really believe this is what God's calling me to. Therefore, I do it. That's what Peter did. He was willing to be a fool. And in your own life, are you willing to be a fool? To look just completely dumb. And the reason you're willing to do that is because you really believe God's called you to it. God's called you to do that task, that particular task. But not only that, but then here's what else happens. Jesus invades Peter's reality. I mean, Peter had a certain concept of the way fishing went, okay? You drop nets, you know, and there's all kinds of different nets, right, to catch these fish. And you're going to catch, if on a good day, you're going to catch a certain amount of fish. I mean, he had, in Peter's head, he had a certain level. I mean, this is a great, great catch of fish. I mean, and it, I don't know what it would have been, but in Peter's head, he had some idea of, man, if we have a great day of fishing, this is how many fish we're going to catch. And then here comes Jesus and into this world and into this reality, into this system of fishing, and Jesus completely blows it out of the water. I mean, you know, in the story, you look at it, and it says that the nets began to break, so he gets his partners out there, and they get their boats out there. And next, you know, there's all these boats that are out there, and they're all beginning to sink. And the reality of fishing is completely blown out of the water. And this is what happens if you continue to look in the story here. It says this, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What happens is this, is that when Jesus invades his reality, Peter really begins to see God for who he really is. He begins to see Jesus not just as a good teacher, not just somebody that you need to be respectful for, but he just comes before him and says, I'm a sinful man, and Lord, you just need to get away from me. You need to completely get away from me, because I see who you are now, and I see who I am, and I mean, there's a huge, huge difference between the two. Just get away from me. And what happens is this, is that Jesus invades his reality, and Peter sees God for who he really is in Jesus. I mean, he finally gets it. He finally begins to understand it. And Jesus calls him out and he says, now, why don't you come with me and let's go do some more fishing? Why don't you come with me and let's continue to live life? Come with me and walk with me. Just come on and just walk with me. Learn. Just come on. And what happens is this, is that when Jesus invades Peter's reality, Peter gets the love of God. Peter gets who Jesus is. But not only that, but through Peter, many other people begin to see who God is and see the love of God in a completely different way in Jesus. Peter plays a huge role. And in your life, guys, get this. God wants to invade your reality. He wants to invade your reality. He wants to do something in your life. And I'm not saying he's like, well, you know, I expected to not study that much and I'm going to get a C, but when God invades my reality, I'm going to get an A. You know, I mean, that's not what we're looking for. But what we're looking for is something like this, is the fact that we begin to have certain ideas of what success is. We have certain ideas of what the world is going to look like and how we're going to fit into the world. And, you know, we think, man, well, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do that. And what God does is this, he invades that reality. And what he begins to do is this, he begins to change our hearts and change our minds and change our dreams and our agendas. And pretty soon, we go from people who are living all our lives and pouring all our energies into things that only last for a lifetime, only for a certain amount of time. And what we begin to do is we begin to live our lives and with all our passions and all our energy and with all our goals and with all our life, everything that, you know, like Eddie talked about this morning, the stuff of life, we give everything towards things that aren't just simply here for a moment and gone, but things that have eternal significance. And God begins to completely change things. He changes our reality because he invades our reality. And we see the love of God, but not only that, but other people see the love of God through the way we live our lives. And that is what the love of God is all about. But for you and for me, I think a lot of us in this room, we've limited the love of God. Man, we've limited the love of God. I mean, I'm just content a lot of times with a love of God that just gives me, you know, I don't have to go to hell. You know, got out of that one. Thanks, God, for that. And that's what I make the love of God. But the love of God calls us to something more. And when we are comfortable, Jesus keeps pushing. And we say, yeah, you can have my boat. You can have my life. You can have certain areas. And Jesus says, no, I want to make it. I want to keep going. I want to keep going. I want to make you different. I want to make you distinct. And so we go there. And when we go there, God invades our reality. And we see God for who he really is. But not only that, but other people see God for who he really is through us. And guys, that is what life is all about. That is life at its very best. So tonight, I don't know where you're at, but I encourage you guys just to really maybe go back and read this again and consider your own life. What would it look like for you if God invaded your reality and made himself known through you and in you? What's that look like for you? What ways is God calling you to understand his love in a deeper and more clear way? Think about that this week. Consider that this week. Let's pray, and then we're going to have a few announcements and a few things. And there's like rapid fire announcements, so I'm just warning you, okay? So, but just guys, this week, really consider these things, okay? Luke 5, consider it. Do you limit the love of God? God, I thank you for this night. And Lord, I really do pray that God, people would just, and me, we would really consider what we've just talked about. Lord, it's not always the most entertaining thing to talk about. It's not always, you know, the most user-friendly thing to talk about, just how you work and how you function. But it's important. Lord, a lot of us in this room, we're used to being entertained by Christians. We're used to coming to the church or coming to these things and just simply being entertained. And just, God, it's hard for us sometimes to really sit and to really dwell and consider your word. But Lord, I pray that this week we would do that, that we wouldn't just simply seek ways to entertain ourselves, Lord, just to follow you when it's convenient. But God, we would really be here, and we would be people that truly consider your word and your truth and your life. And God, how your love can change everything. It changes the way we see ourselves. It changes the way we see the world. So Lord, just thank you for this group. God, the world is not impressed by this thing. The world's not impressed by relevant. But God, I really believe that you're going to use these people to advance your story. Lord, I pray that the people in this room would be serious about their faith. I pray the people in this room wouldn't buy into a cheap version of the love of God, love of you. They wouldn't buy into a cheap version of the faith, but God, strengthen them. God, mold them. Mold me. God, I pray that we do not limit you in your love. God, I pray that instead we take it to the world. We take it to the people. Because God, it changes us. So Lord, thank you for this group. I ask these things in your name. Amen.